بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين The ruling on taking back the wife and the waiting period. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا متقبلا إن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أما بعد for respected brothers in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته May Allah reward you for staying for this talk, inshallah, and may I ask Allah to make it beneficial Amen. For you and for all of us,
Amen.
And to give us the tawfiq to say what is pleasing to Him and that which He loves. And alhamdulillah, we're continuing in our series on the book Bulugh al-Maram, min Adillat al-Ahkam, and we started the chapter on the talaq, the divorce, a few lessons ago. And today we are reaching the chapter on the returning or taking back of the wife. The taking back of the wife. So inshallah, let us read the hadith together and discuss the commentary of the ulama on this hadith. عن إمران ابن حسين رضي الله عنهما أنه سئل عن الرجل يطلق ثم يراجع ولا يشهد فقال أشهد على طلاقها وعلى رجعتها رواه أبو داود وهكذا موقوف وسنده صحيح So here, respected brothers in Islam, the hadith is narrated on the authority of Imran ibn Husayn, who was asked about a man who divorced his wife. Then he took her back. And he did not have anybody witnessing when he took her back. So then what did Imran ibn Husayn, he said was, witness over your divorce and make a witness over taking her back. This is narrated by Abu Dawud. In some of the narrations of this hadith, it says, it is not sunnah. Let him have it witnessed now. And in another narration, it says, and seek Allah's forgiveness. And seek Allah's forgiveness. So here, respected brothers in Islam, this hadith is regarding the witnessing when one divorces and takes his wife back. When one divorces his wife, and if he wishes to take her back within the waiting period, or what is called iddat in Arabic, then he should have a witness to it. So for example, a man, he divorces his wife, he should have two people witness the divorce. And if he wishes to take his wife back, he should have two people witness that I am taking my wife back within her iddat, which is the waiting period, which is roughly 3 menstrual cycles. As we mentioned previously, it is the right of the husband who has divorced his wife once or twice to take her back within the waiting period. The waiting period is called idda in Arabic. And if he wishes to do that, that's his right. But if it goes beyond the idda, then he can no longer take her back. He has to have a new contract and a new mahar and witnesses. So here Imran ibn Husayn, he said, let him witness now. Which means that he didn't say that when a man divorces his wife without witnesses, he didn't say, do your divorce again. He said, bring the witnesses and have them witness what you did now. So that means that the divorce that he had done without witnesses, did it take place?
No.
Without the witnesses? He said, let them come and witness now what you have done and seek forgiveness. So what it means is that when he divorced them, he didn't say divorce her again and witness it.
He said, let them come and witness what happened. Basically, which means that he did not require him to repeat the divorce, but he said, come and have it witnessed by the people that this divorce took place. Because normally speaking, the divorce is in the privacy of the home. And nobody knows whether the divorce took place or not. In the same way, if a husband wants to take his wife back, it takes place in the privacy of the home. He might simply say to her, I take you back. So what should he do if he does that? When he wants to take his wife back? What did Imran ibn Hussein say? Have witnesses. And the reason for the witnesses, respected brothers in Islam, is that there are a great number of rights for the wife and for the husband that take place due to the divorce or the taking back. Say the husband divorced his wife, and then the wife, she denies that he took her back. Say the husband, he took his wife back, right? He divorced her, and then he took her back. The wife, when she comes back to the husband, she doesn't like, you know, his dealings with her. And the fact that he had divorced her, people knew about it. So then the wife, she says, since nobody witnessed him taking her back, she leaves the house and she says, you divorced me. The husband says, no, I took you back. She says, no, you didn't. And there's no one to witness it. So what happens now? There's no way to prove, the husband to prove that he had taken his wife back, right? So she would be free to go. And the same thing, it protects the wife's rights. The wife's rights. Say that a man had divorced his wife, and people knew about it, and then he took her back. Everybody knows what we mean by taking her back?
Yeah.
Is that familiar with this concept? He takes her back, but nobody witnessed the taking back. And then the man dies. So now the wife comes to take her inheritance. Do people know whether she's married to him or not? They might think she's divorced because nobody witnessed that he took her back. So the rights of the husband and the wife could be affected by the witnessing. So if the witnesses were there that he took her back, she can come and say, these are the witnesses, he took me back, I'm still his wife. And then they would have to deal with her as if she's his wife. But if the witnesses are not there, people can say, no, he divorced you. You don't have any rights to the inheritance because you're divorced. So you see how the rights of the wife are at stake. And the same thing, the rights of the husband are at stake. If he had divorced her in a moment of anger, and then he goes to, and he tells her to go to her house, and then he took her back. He takes her back, and the wife doesn't have to be present when he takes her back. So he takes her back alone, and there's no witnesses. He just says to himself, I take my wife back. And then he goes to the house to take her, and she says, no, you didn't take me back. There's no witnesses that he took him back, and she could refuse to go back with him. She said, you divorced me. So if he has the witnesses that he took her back within the waiting period, he could come later on and come take his wife, and she'll say, where's your proof that you took me back? He could say, these are my witnesses. I took you back before the 3 months are over, before the iddah is over. And that way he could protect his right to take his wife back. So this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commands witnessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Allah says, وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوَيَ عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ, and bear witness to righteous people from amongst you. Let two righteous people bear witness when you take your wife back. So this is again to protect the rights of the people involved, and this is also considered one of the rights of Allah, that the marriage and divorce be witnessed. It's considered a right of Allah. As Allah says, وَأَقِيمُ الشَّهَادَةَ لِلَّهِ, establish the witnessing for the sake of Allah. Because in the marriage and divorce, it's the word of Allah that he marries her by. Right? And the divorce is the word of it's the witnessing is Allah's witness. So if we take witnesses, this is protecting the right of Allah. Now, so some ulama, they say, the question is, when we, if a person, he wants to divorce his wife, we know that it's recommended to do that. But is it obligatory? Is it an obligation, or is it simply something that's recommended?
To divorce your wife?
If a person, say he were to divorce his wife, should he call witnesses to bear witness that he's divorcing his wife?
No.
Is it required, or?
No.
We know that it's recommended, right? Because in this hadith, Imad ibn Hussein, he said, bring witnesses to bear witness that you've divorced your wife, right? And then he also, he said, bring witnesses that you've taken her back. So it's something that Imran ibn Hussein, he's requiring them to do, and he was giving them the ruling. So we know that it's something that's highly recommended, at least, right? But is it obligatory?
No, it's not obligatory.
Okay. If we read up to this part of the hadith, we could say that perhaps it is something recommended. But if you keep reading the rest of the hadith, Imran ibn Hussein, he tells the man who divorced his wife without witnessing it, he said, and seek istighfar to Allah. Ask Allah to forgive you for what you did. So why would he have to ask forgiveness from Allah? Because he did something wrong, right? He divorced without the witnesses, and he took her back without the witnesses. So seek forgiveness for your divorcing and taking back without witnesses. This is what we can read from the hadith, inshallah. So the ulama, many of them, they say it's obligatory to have witnesses present if one wishes to take his wife back after divorce. It's required that he witness it so that it will be known, and so that his rights will be known and her rights will be known. Many of the ulama say that. Okay, so let's go to the next hadith, inshallah. That's clear for everybody? Is that concept clear? That when a person, he wishes to divorce his wife or take her back after a divorce, he should have it witnessed so that it will protect the rights of the husband and the wife. Yes,
one witness or two witnesses?
Two male witnesses. The way Adlan thinks, two male witnesses. Just like in the marriage, when the husband and wife get married, there's two male just witnesses. Inshallah. Yes, ma'am.
Question, when you marry, the woman has to, you have to seek permission from the guardian.
Yes.
In a case of divorce or taken back, would the wali be required to witness? Or
very good question. Question is that if a person, he divorces the wife or wants to take her back after a divorce, does he need the permission of the wali? The answer is that no, he does not need the permission of the wali. The divorce is the right of the husband, and there's a hadith that says that the divorce is the right of the one who takes by the leg. Meaning the husband, he's the one who took her in marriage, and he married her, and he has the right to let her go and release her. So he doesn't need the permission of her wali. To take her back within the waiting period is also the right of the husband. The wali cannot stop him from taking her back within the, what they call the iddah, the 3 months. He has every right to return her during that time without the permission of the wali, without her permission. It's his right to take her back. He doesn't even have to ask her. But if the waiting period went by, the iddah was over, after the 3 months go by, we're going to talk about this, then can he take her back after that?
Yeah, he can't take her back without, he has to go through it.
Now he needs to get the guardian's permission,
yes,
to do a new wedding and to bring two witnesses and give her a new money.
New dowry and everything.
New dowry, yes. Yes, that's right. Now,
Imam, can the woman seek divorce?
Yes, yes. We talked about this. Actually, we're going to mention it here too, inshallah, in a minute, inshallah. It's called khula. For a woman, it's not called divorce, it's called khula. Inshallah, we'll mention that in a moment, inshallah. Okay, so let's read the next hadith, and then we'll, inshallah, discuss this issue here. This next hadith is related to the taking back and the waiting period, inshallah. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه لما طلق امرأته قال النبي لعمر مره فليراجعها. Hadith is agreed upon. Here Ibn Umar, the son of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, when he divorced his wife, the Prophet ﷺ said to Umar, tell your son to take her back. Tell your son to take her back. Now, so this hadith here, this Ibn Umar, he had divorced his wife. And we covered this hadith previously. He divorced her, and then it was found out that he divorced her while she was menstruating. And when the Prophet ﷺ found out about this, he said, tell Ibn Umar to bring his wife back, take her back. Because it's not allowed to divorce during the menses. We also covered this. The four imams, and even the imams of the Sahaba, they all agree that divorcing the wife while she's menstruating is not allowed. It's haram. It's haram. And the four imams, they said that it counts. It's haram, it's sinful, but if he divorces his wife when she's menstruating, then it counts. So why did the author bring this hadith here about Umar taking his wife? Why the Prophet says, I'm telling Ibn Umar, take your wife back. The reason that he put it here is that he's trying to show that it's something that taking back the wife is something that is encouraged in Islam. Not only is it encouraged, sometimes it might be obligatory, depending on the view of the scholars. Some of them say if he divorces her in her menstruation, he should take her back. He should not divorce her when she's menstruating. He should take her back, wait till she becomes pure. Then she has another menstruation, and she's pure again, and he didn't touch her, then he divorces her. This is what we read previously. And the reason for that is that the waiting period, the person might regret that he divorced her, and he finds out she's pregnant. Now, so when she has the menstruation, this shows that her womb is empty and that there's no child there. So if she's pure and he had relations with her, can he divorce her? He's not allowed to divorce her, right? He's not allowed to divorce her in her menses, and he's not allowed to divorce her when she's pure and he had the sexual relations with her. The reason for that is that she could be pregnant. And so when he divorces her when she is pure and he had relations with her, he might find out later that she became pregnant from that relationship. So what the ulama, they say, is that she has to become pure from the menses, and then he doesn't touch her. She's pure, right? She took the shower, and then he can divorce her. But if he had sexual relations with her, he cannot divorce her. What does he have to do? He has to wait till she has another menstrual cycle. That means that the womb, there's no pregnancy, and then he can divorce her after she becomes pure again. This is one of the rulings that the scholars state. But also there's another reason for the idda. There's another reason for the idda, the waiting period. Right? When he divorces her, he waits till she has three menstruations. One of the reasons is to make sure she's not pregnant. Right? Because if she has the menstruation, does a pregnant woman menstruate? No. So that's to make sure her womb is empty. So if she goes to another man, she gets married to somebody else, she's not pregnant from the first husband. So part of the wisdom of waiting three menstrual cycles is to make sure she's not pregnant. But there's another reason, another wisdom. And the scholars, they said that the idda has many wisdoms. But one of the great wisdoms is so that during that 3 months, the husband and the wife can compare how life is being married and how life is being apart. And perhaps the wife, she'll realize that I don't want to be alone. One menstrual cycle goes by, and she can compare how life is with her husband and without her husband. And if she realizes that she wants to be with her husband, she can try her best to make up amends with her husband. Right? And so the scholars, they say that, they give an example, is that a woman came to Omar and she wanted an annulment. This is what you asked about earlier. That she wanted to get divorced from her husband. And so Omar, he told her, go and stay in this room where they stored manure. He said, stay there at night. And some of the narration say she stayed there 3 nights. And then when she came out, Omar, he said, what did you like better? When you were with your husband or in that room? The woman, she said, the night I spent last night is better than the whole time I've been married. She said, since the day I got married, that night was much better when I was alone in the room. So Omar, he got a divorce. So she can request a divorce if she asks the Islamic judge. But the reason why he told her to stay in that room is so she could compare. What is it like without her husband? Maybe she spends a few days alone and she realizes, I want to go back to my husband. So that's part of the reason why she waits 3 menstrual cycles. Not one. One menstrual cycle, that means she's not pregnant, right? But perhaps 1 month goes by. The husband, he tries it out also. He says, how is it like without my wife? One menstrual cycle goes by. He says, I'm still not sure. You know, maybe I should take her back, maybe not. So he has another menstrual cycle. Now by the time the second menstrual cycle, he says, I'm almost positive. You know, I want to let her go. So then the third menstrual cycle goes by, and 3 times, and that's it, she's free. Or he can realize that I need my wife. And then he will have a chance to think about it. See, he has 3 months to think about whether he wants to bring his wife back. Yes?
After those 3 months, is the wife allowed to reject?
You're right. If the 3 menstrual cycles go by, she's free to marry somebody else, and he cannot force her to go back. And if he wants to marry her again, he can do that. You know, if he only divorced her once or twice, he can always take her back again. He can marry her again, but she can free marry somebody else if she wants to. That's another one of the wisdoms of, you know, when the 3 menstrual cycles are over, she can marry somebody else, and he has no right to take her back. Yes?
Would she have to, before he take her back, don't she have to get married to someone else?
Good question. If he divorced her 3 times, 3 times and it's over, there's no taking back after that. Okay? 3 times, there's no going back. Even after, if he wants to do a new contract, he can't. Because the Prophet ﷺ, somebody came to him and he said, I divorced my wife 3 times. And he said, you cannot marry her again until she marries somebody else and they taste each other's sweetness. This is the expression the Prophet ﷺ used. Meaning they actually had real relations and not just a fake marriage. She married somebody else. He divorced her. And she gets free from him. Her waiting period is over. Then she can come back to the first husband. That's if the husband divorced her, Adam. How many times?
3 times.
3 times. What if the husband, he only divorced her once, and then her waiting period's over? Can he marry her again?
Yes.
He divorced her twice, and the period's over. Can he marry her again? Yes. It's only if he did the full 3 times, and he can go back again. No. Okay, so this is one of the reasons why the waiting period is there. So that they have a chance to try out life separately. And maybe the husband, he says, I want to take her back. Maybe the wife, she realizes she wants to go back and she'll try her best to repair the relationship. And also, usually, when a man divorces his wife, Does he do it when he's happy or when he's angry? When he's angry, right? So this would give her a chance to, you know, when he calms down, to try to make amends with him. And here is something that's very, very important, which is that the wife, when the husband divorces his wife, is not allowed to do it when she's menstruating. And the reason for that, the scholars, they say, is that when she's menstruating, she cannot have a chance to make up with her husband. Because the thing that the husband wants the most from her is herself. He wants to have the relations with her. So if she's menstruating, she cannot use her attraction to kind of make up his anger and get him to make up with her. So when she's in her menses, the relationship is kind of away from each other, and she doesn't have the greatest weapon in her hands, which is her own self, to try to make herself attracted to her husband, and so that she can bring him back to the relationship with her. So this is one of the reasons why in the menses it's not allowed to divorce, because the husband's angry and the wife might want to make him happy, but she can't. So then it could lead to the husband divorcing prematurely. Now, and she needs to try her best to try to get him back to the relationship. So this is the power actually that a woman has over the man. She has the power. The greatest thing she has is herself. The greatest thing that a woman has to try to keep her husband together with her is herself, her body, and the relations with it. And the Shaykh, he mentioned an interesting poem by Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid, he was a big king and he had a huge kingdom. So he said, I saw a young girl from my maid servants. He had the female servants, slaves. So he said, I called her to come to me. And she said, no. She refused. Then he said, I said to the people around me, all of the kingdom is mine and obeys me, but the one that I seek, she is disobedient. Now, he had a huge kingdom, and he said, all of his kingdom is mine, but the one that thing that he desired the most, she wouldn't listen to him. She wouldn't come to him. So he said, it seems to me that the power of my desires and whims is greater than all of my worldly power. You know, he said that my desire, my whims is more powerful than all of this worldly power that I have. This one girl, prevented him from what he desired, even though he had such a great kingdom. So the Shaykh, he said, this is the power that the woman has over the man. He put in her the femininity. He put in her the attraction, the natural creation that is attractive to the man. And he put in the man the attraction to the woman. So, you know, this woman, if she's pure, if she's in a state of purity and the husband divorces her, what can she do? She can make herself attractive to him. She can use this ability Allah has given her to make herself attractive to her husband, to make him happy. And if she wants to save the family and save the future, she can do that and bring things back to the normal way of the family, running of the family. So this is why, one of the reasons why the divorce should be in a state of purity. So that at that time, when the husband is angry, the woman can use her greatest weapon, which is herself, to try to please the husband. And it's prohibited in the menses because she doesn't have that weapon available to her. She cannot make the husband pleased with her because he cannot have relations with her while she is menstruating. No. Okay. And the last thing here, inshallah, on this hadith, on this part about taking the back or taking back the wife, is that when the Ibn Umar, his Prophet said, take back your wife, don't divorce her when she's menstruating. This is called the divorce that is, this is haram, right? Divorcing her when she's menstruating. It's also haram to divorce her three times at once. Right? Have we, do you remember this issue? If a husband divorces his wife three times at once, that's also haram. Why is that haram? Probably you can think of the reason why. No chance to make up. That's right. You divorced her, you used up all three at one time. You know, Allah Ta'ala gave the whole waiting period, the whole chance to make up. But you used them all up at once. So now how are you going to have a chance to reconcile with her? And one man, he came to Ibn Abbas and he said, I divorced my wife three times at once. Is there a way out? So Ibn Abbas, he said, you know, there's a verse in the Quran, whoever fears Allah, he gives him the way out, right? He said, you didn't fear Allah, so how are you going to have a way out? You didn't fear Allah. Allah said, you know, divorce one time, it's haram, divorce three times. And you wanted to use them all up because at once. So how is Allah going to give you a way out from this? No. And he divorces her three times, and maybe yesterday he had relations with her. And then he finds out, after he divorced her three times, she's pregnant. So what did he do now to that child? He cut himself off from his child. So what he should have done is, if you follow the sunnah, is he has to wait till she's pure and he didn't touch her. Then he can divorce her. But if he divorces her after he touched her, that means that he didn't follow the sunnah and he might regret it afterwards. No. Okay, so the main reason for the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ told Ibn Umar, take your wife back, is to show that, the author brought it here to show that taking the wife back is highly recommended. It's very much encouraged, because what happens if the husband doesn't take his wife back? The whole family falls apart. The kids, they get separated and in the street. The whole society suffers when the husband doesn't take the wife back. The whole society will be affected by that divorce. So the scholars say it's highly recommended to take her back, and it might be obligatory, depending on the circumstances, that he should take her back. And Allah knows best. Jazakallah khair. Any questions, inshallah? Yes, brother.
Her brother wanted to get married, right? He wanted more than one wife. Okay. She said, no, she don't approve of this.
Does the wife have a right to prevent her husband from getting married to another one? No. The wife would only, she doesn't have a right to do that, normally speaking, but she could put it in the marriage contract before she gets married, that she can say, I don't want any wife before me and not after me. I want to be the only one. You know, I want to be alone with my husband. She can put that in her marriage contract. And a majority of the woman, obviously, the husband has to keep to his conditions. He has to honor that. And if he doesn't honor that, then she has a right to separate from him. But other than that, she doesn't have a right to prevent him from marrying another wife, but he should fulfill the rights of another wife. If he were to take a second wife, Allah put the condition. He said, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَنْ لَا تَعْدِيلُ. If you fear you will not be just, then what? So, you know, the husband has to fear Allah, but the wife cannot prevent him. He doesn't need her permission. He doesn't need her permission. She should not prevent him. And even the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not let the wife tell her husband to divorce her sister. Meaning if he had a second wife, it is not allowed for her to try to get her husband to divorce the other wife, so that she can get the husband all of his possessions for herself. It's haram for her to do that. You know, the wife should be, she should not seek to harm the relationship of the husband with his other wife. There's a natural feeling of jealousy, but the woman, she should keep patient, inshallah. And the most that she has is the right to demand he be just. You know, she can tell him, if you marry the other wife, you have to be just between us. And Allah will hold you to account. You know, you have to spend equal time, inshallah. Zakallah khair. Any other question? Did I answer your question, I think, about the woman seeking a divorce? Basically, the woman, she doesn't have a right to divorce, but she has what is called khula, which means that, annulment, they translate it, which basically means that she goes to a judge, and she tells the judge, I can't stay with my husband, you know, due to, I can't be patient with him, I can't tolerate him, something like that. Then the judge, he can issue the divorce himself, or he can tell the husband to divorce her. But the khula involves a monetary compensation, which means that the woman, usually she gives back her marriage gift. You know, whatever he gave her, now he gave her that money so that he can have relations with her, right? To be his wife. Now she doesn't want to have relations with him anymore. She has to give back. You know, she doesn't want to keep her side of the contract. Because the marriage, the definition in Islamic law of marriage, is a contract that permits the sexual relations. That's the definition of marriage. So since she does not want to fulfill her side of the contract, she has to compensate the husband for what he paid her to get married. And that's if provided that the husband didn't do something really harmful to her. But if the husband was very harming her, for example, and it was his fault completely, not from her side, but he's the one that is not spending on her, he's not taking care of her, he's abusing her, or he doesn't pray, he does drugs, then in that case the judge might tell the husband, you have to divorce her, and she doesn't have to give anything back because of the wrong that he did to her. Inshallah. So then that will be the other option that she has. But no, she cannot. When we say she can't divorce, means that she cannot say it herself, I'm divorced. And the reason for that is a great wisdom. Who is more emotional, the man or the woman?
The woman.
Allah has, normally speaking, the man, he's supposed to be more cool and more, more logical, and supposed to be. But what happens now when you have men that are more emotional than women, and they divorce 3 times and they get upset? That means that he doesn't really deserve this right that Allah gave him. So man, he's supposed to use it wisely. You know, the divorce, inshallah ta'ala. And the woman, normally if she was given the right of divorce, then what the ulama say? There would be a lot of divorce. Because the woman, she gets emotional, she gets upset. And that's kind of a mechanism that she goes to the judge to make sure that there's a, you know, proper reasoning for the divorce, inshallah ta'ala.
Now, what about the woman that doesn't get the cycle on a normal basis?
Good question, jazakallah khair. I was going to mention this, that some women, they cannot be pregnant, but they still have the waiting period. For example, say a man was away in a faraway land, and then he comes back and he didn't have relations with his wife, but he divorces her. Right? So then in this case, she still has to wait 3 menstrual cycles. Not because of the fact that she might be pregnant, but because of the fact that they might be able to make up. And there's other reasons too, to show the right of Allah that marriage is something serious. And there's other reasons too. But say the woman is very, very young. Sometimes some women, they get married, they're not the age of menstruation, but they're old enough to be married. And this happens in some societies, and it's allowed in Islam. So in that case, she would not wait 3 menstrual cycles. She doesn't menstruate. Or she's too old to menstruate. She would wait 3 months. 3 lunar months. And then she would be divorced after that, inshallah.
Does the common person understand the rulings of divorce and take back and all that stuff, or would it be normal that he would consult the people of knowledge?
This is a very important question. That does the common person, does he have to be familiar with this? And the scholars say that it's very important that the man know these things and the woman know these rulings. Because what if a man, he divorced his wife and he thought that he couldn't get back with her, for example. You know, he divorced her one time, and I've met many brothers, they think this. I divorced my wife one time, and now it's been several months, and they think that she has to marry somebody else. And the ruling is that it has to be three times, right? Not just one divorce, so they can actually get back together. Or he might not know it, and he says three divorces at once. He's doing something haram. Or he divorces her when she's menstruating. He's doing something haram, right? And he gets, and a lot of these things, it could really affect the relationship. He might not know that, you know, the woman herself, she might not know that the reason for the waiting period is so that she can make herself attractive to the husband. And that she might think that she's supposed to stay somewhere in a closet in the house, but actually she's supposed to do everything that a wife does with her husband. You know, try to make herself attractive, try to, you know, so these are things that are very important for the family to know these things. And usually the ulama, they don't spend too much time on the divorce because they don't want to encourage people to do the divorce. But at least people should know what the rulings are. What if he is with his wife, but it turns out they're not married anymore? So then he could be doing something that is very displeasing to Allah. You know, so it's very important that we learn these rulings, inshallah ta'ala, and you know, that way we can you know, obey Allah in the best way, inshallah, and fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. JazakAllah khairan. May Allah reward you, goodness, and may Allah accept from all of you. And Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahu ta'ala. JazakAllah khairan.